Welcome to Unruly's official podcast, a series dedicated to unpicking key topics affecting the digital advertising and media industry. Find us at unruly.co.
During this episode, we'll hear from two formidable industry leaders about their views on the importance of the attention economy. Dr. Karen Nelson-Field is a professor of media innovation at the University of Adelaide in Australia and co-founder and CEO of Amplified Intelligence, who believe that attention metrics make audiences much more valuable. Also joining us is David Porter, Vice President, Global Media at Unilever, who also knows a thing or two about improving audience measurement. David also serves as Vice President of the World Federation of Advertisers here in Asia Pacific. A big warm welcome to both of you. I thought I'd start off, Karen, well, both of you, I guess, you've both invested tremendously in driving better marketing effectiveness, but we find ourselves very much in the midst of something that's getting us a significant amount of attention, which is the attention economy itself. Karen, you know, without a doubt, you are the leading authority on the topic. I'd like to get to the most obvious question first, I guess. What is the attention economy and what is it an answer to?
A good question. I think just stepping back though, if you start with what attention economics is, that's the best place to start. So it's basically, you know, the study of inattention and its impact on social and economic systems. So it's kind of dated back to sort of pre-World War, you know, understanding radar distraction, you know, flight situations and things like that. But the attention economy is the action part of this. So if we, taking it to our industry, if we know the value of attention to advertising and brands and what problems it solves for, then theoretically an attention economy is about building a trading sort of standard around this. So you sort of in the second part say, you know, what is this economy an answer to? You've probably heard me say this a lot, but it's the big gaping hole between current audience measurement metrics, which you think are telling you how viewers engage with your ad, to measurement that actually can. And that's the reality. So I don't know if you want me to quote some stats, but you know, theoretically we just did something late December. It was a Christmas present for the viewers of an article that I wrote. And of the impressions that you technically paid for, 63% of them get what we call insignificant attention, which is less than half a second. 13% get zero attention. And only 24% of the ads or from the currency you trust actually delivers the value you think it does, because they get at least 2 seconds of time. So that's the gap you're dealing with.
We might have a lot of very nervous media buyers listening now.
and Lee, I think Karen's being a little bit modest here. I mean, you know, she mentioned Christmas earlier, and my Christmas present to myself was her fine book, The Attention Economy. And if you're probably going to ask her towards the end of this session, you know, what should marketers do in order to start on this journey? And the first thing they should do is buy that or borrow a copy or whatever. I'm not plugging the sales, Karen can do that, but it needs to be read.
I'm coming back to this one. This is fun.
And listen, see, you know, this problem is as old as the hills. You know, I've been around the block a little bit, and I remember literally 40 years ago when we were trying to professionalize the media part of the industry and get out of the, you know, the back office. We were talking to brands about how your fine ad is not an ad until someone's seen it and acted on it. You know, it's just a reel of film or a video cassette. That's how long ago it was.
Video cassette.
Yeah. And so we've really got to move on from that. And it's getting harder, you know, because we used to say, lend me your ear for 30 seconds, maybe one eye, you know, while you feed the dog and make a cup of tea and I'll play you a commercial and tell you something you want to hear. And these days we're saying, stop what you're doing, put your mobile phone up to your face. Oh, and by the way, I want your name and address. You know, so I don't know if we're going to talk about it, but the value exchange, the thing that we as marketers ask from the public, has the stakes have got so much higher. So it's no surprise that we're having challenges actually finding those eyeballs with genuinely, you know, genuine attention.
I'm going to totally interject there, because I actually think that's a classic example of most people haven't come to terms with how much human attention people are paying to different platforms and formats. And I often say that most marketers actually have the wrong notion and still think it's some sort of sustained interest. And it's really not. And, you know, the systematic sameness across all countries for these platforms, it's just amazing. And what I try and say is that, you know, it's the functionality of these platforms that is causing people to actually switch off. So to your point, David, you know, what is the value exchange there? You know, consumers are going, well, I really don't want to engage with this ad. It's not really offering me anything I want to look at.
And it's one of the weird things that's happened, you know, that this 40, 50, 60-year-old problem has just gradually got more acute thanks to the technology and the way those platforms talk to people. But at least within that technology, I think, you know, people in Karen's area of the industry who are really thinking about this and applying some science and some method are beginning to find solutions for us. And that's why, you know, if you're going to ask us why has it taken so long for it to happen, we've needed it to get so bad we have to do something about it, and we've needed the technology to get sufficiently sophisticated to allow us to find a fix. So we're at this critical time now.
So on that point, David, around technology, there certainly have been attempts in terms of, you know, cleaning up a little bit around things like viewability. And Karen, you know, viewability is by no means perfect, and certainly is the attention economy, you know, an evolution of that viewability measure, or is it really something that's been accelerated by the inevitable and imminent cookie-less world?
Look, I personally think it's both. But what I want to say first is viewability has served its purpose. Let me say that. So, you know, 15 years ago when, you know, excuse the pun, the internet was quite unruly.
still is.
Yeah. It came in at a time that it needed to, which was to at least bring some sort of standards to a largely unregulated industry. But when I say I think it's both, first, you know, what I'm doing is I'm not a discoverer of a new problem. So what we're doing is solving for the same problem that the early technology did, but now with advanced technology that actually measures human engagement, which it didn't before. So, you know, where viewability measurement sort of falls short is that, you know, it's telling you, it's kind of a substitute for human engagement, yet it's measured in isolation of human viewing. So they're not the same. So to be clear, so attention and viewability, not the same. And often, unfortunately, used interchangeably. So I'll often say that, you know, viewability is about how an ad is presented on screen, whereas attention is how a viewer responds to that. And it's kind of stuff you were sort of saying before, David. So, and second to that, I think it's also a use case for human attention data is broadening because of the cookieless world approaching us. So to me, it's kind of, I won't say perfect storm, but certainly perfect timing for a new measure to shine through. And you were saying this before, like, you know, it's got so bad. We've got technology to solve for both. This is a perfect time.
Yeah, look, I can't remember who made the film with Rob Lowe. It may have been Fox Networks, but they did a brilliant film for the upfronts one year in the States for the industry, basically ridiculing the viewability standards by actually having Rob demonstrate them on camera, you know, with half his face for half a second or whatever it was. And, yeah, those standards were risible when they kicked off. I'm pleased to say, I think, Unilever and Group M combined to set our own higher standard, and that's been a big help. But it's just not enough, you know, and we can do better now. And I think one of the challenges, of course, is we've basically got a digital media economic system that's been built around performance advertisers, and never mind the quality, fill the width. So long as you get the click, so long as you get the sale, who cares? But that explains why I think a lot of brand marketers these days are having to go into digital because that's where the public's moved, but they're scratching their heads because their CPMs are going down, their reach is going up, and brand health isn't improving, brand power isn't improving. And that's because we're not necessarily getting the amount of attention that we should be. So I think there's a really, you know, there's a strong emerging argument now for brands to rethink how they approach that whole topic and to pay attention to attention.
I'm glad you brought up as well. So I was around in the early days to challenge the MRC standard when it did come in. And, you know, I sort of feel for those that write the standards because they're sitting right between, you know, the publishers and the brands, and publishers want it one way because there's more inventory available, and brands want it the other way because there is, you know, money left on the table if it's only half a second. But I think that the measure of attention, it changes that because, you know, it really is up to the individual brands how much attention they want to buy for. So as we move towards an economy and you can actually build probabilistic models off of the deterministic data, you decide. You decide if you want to buy 1 second of attention. You decide whether you want to buy 5 seconds of attention. So I think it's all changing.
And I think there'll still be, you know, just good news for some publishers out there. There's still a market for that kind of remnant inventory, if you like. In the pre-digital world, that used to get gobbled up by direct response advertisers at a fair price because they didn't want high attention media, because they didn't want you to hang on to your favorite show or your favorite magazine article. They wanted you to go and save 10% on your car insurance. So low attention media has a value. We should not be using it to build brands.
We are so aligned, and I feel really bad that we're totally hogging this podcast. But what I'll add to that is where I see this going is the value of human attention will actually drive, God help us, any procurement teams that hear this, but it'll likely drive CPMs up because what people will realize is you should pay more for inventory that's rare that does give you more attention. So that kind of brings us back to this concept of positive attention economy, where the last thing I want to see is that CPMs are thrown in now and we buy attention off the back of a CPM when it's too soon for that. We have to establish the value of each second of attention and then pay more, not less, for the value of that back to the value exchange piece.
Well, it sounds like it's an interesting time for publishers as well, because, you know, they ultimately want to maximize their value. And it sounds like they'll be able to tip in on the top end, but still be able to clean up on, as you said, David, lower price inventory to maximize their, you know, their revenues. And at a time where we're starting to see contextual relevance come back again, welcome back to 1999. We will find our way, but the cookieless world is changing and forcing publishers to adapt in different ways. As a marketer new, they may be dabbling in viewability. How do they move? How do they move from the basics to get more involved? And as you mentioned, I mean, there are a few methodologies out there. What should marketers be looking for when they are looking for a solution?
Well, I think there's a couple of questions in that. I mean, and David, jump in where you want to, but, we look at attention data as a layer, not as a replacement currency at this very single point in time. So, David, I'm going to give you an exam. Did you read the section on how long it takes to change a currency?
Yes.
And it takes a long time, right? So how I look at this at the moment is every single system in the entire world is based on reach and frequency, and I feel like what we're trying to sort of do is build product that sort of delivers data for people to sort of layer in. That's kind of where people are starting. So whether it's planning, whether it's buying, or whether it's verification eventually, I see this as being a layer for the moment until eventually it swings to the point where it becomes a currency unto itself. Until there's continuous panels, I can't see that happening. So I still feel that's a few years away, but I feel like every stack will have some sort of attention adjustment connected to it in that sense. Did you want to add to that, David?
Yeah, I think so. I think just thinking about that monetization funnel that one's seen, brands can do a huge amount to reduce the impact or the drop-off at each stage of that if they really pay attention to it. So, and I've seen us do that where we in some cases by having tighter viewability standards or really having a go at eradicating non-human traffic or in each one of those stages, there's quite a lot that if brands invest the time and the energy, they can make big, big improvements. And I think that's a really good first step. Because then at least you're coming to this and to the kind of solutions that Karen and other organizations are going to have, at least you'll be coming to it with a vastly improved starting point. There's no reason the brand can't start today just by raising its viewability standards, for example. Not everyone's doing this yet.
Yeah, and also understanding what to expect. So the single thing that surprises me to this day is people still think, you can put some incredible creative on a platform that typically generates 4 seconds of attention and then expect it to get 10. And it just doesn't happen that way. So really understand the norms and work with them. I mean, creative plays a role at sort of pushing up or down those sort of baselines. But realistically, if you know what to expect. You can build your creative and your strategy around that.
And again, I know from the work I do with the WFA, the World Federation of Advertisers, that we're not alone in really focusing on assets this year, on really focusing on living with the fact that, you know, the typical viewer on a platform is only going to watch so many seconds, and nailing the communications in that time, treating the rest of that commercial as bonus, in effect. And there's a line in your book, Karen, that just will blow the wind out of the sails of every ECD, where you nail the question about how big should the logo be, and it's basically bigger. Yeah. Is the answer bigger
I'm
and earlier.
I'm a simple girl. But you know, it's interesting you say that, because I just wrote a paper yesterday that was released about going deeper on predictions, and one of them I think this year will be about creative assets. So I feel, you know, as an industry, we've started to sort of put a line in the sand around what to expect. So to your point, I think this year brands will go, okay, so I can't double my attention. That's unrealistic. It's a bit like the old days of viral marketing. It's just not realistic. They're not normal. But what can I do to squeeze the value out of every impression? And that's sometimes from emotional content, but it's also, to your point, about making sure that you brand well.
Well, it's an interesting time for Unruly as well, because you mentioned creative. One of the products that made us quite famous and was a key differentiator was our EQ product. And Karen, you're, you know, very, very close to the matter around emotional response optimization and creative calibration for things like cultural nuances and differences in markets. Emotional response for us has been a really, really powerful tool in differentiating those audiences out there. So it's definitely a great time when we're getting new metrics in from an attention perspective, really cleaning up the value proposition. And David, I'm sure yourself and other marketers are looking at, you know, striking that balance. As you said, best efforts. It isn't about solving everything right away. It's about getting involved, fine-tuning and taking advantage of what technology brings to the table. And I imagine new currencies are about to pop up in how big brands trade and how the market is looking at the new world of no cookies and challenges in IDFA.
Look, it's not a shoo-in. It's not guaranteed. We're going to all have to work at this. I remember when Channel 4 launched in the UK shortly after the Great Flood, because it was all about destination viewing and very specific chosen programs for the public. There was a feeling that Channel 4 ratings were worth more than others in the UK. That really didn't sell as well as people hoped it would. I know Mindshare had a go with what they called purple ratings back in the day. So to Karen's point, this is going to take some work. And I think it particularly needs us to address with my community, with kind of the brand side media and media procurement community, the fact that this race to the bottom on lowest possible CPMs is not going to help build your brand, because with it comes inattention. Yeah. So we're actually diluting the quality of what we're buying. So we somehow need to find a way through that without creating sort of unfeasible levels of inflation. So it's a work in progress, but it's important work.
So Karen, there are a few different methodologies out there, whether panel-based or tagging or other sort of segmentation methods. What should we look for in terms of key measures in getting attention metrics right?
That's a good question. You know, the reality is we have one shot at this. And, you know, sort of David's been talking about that. I mean, you know, if we get this wrong, we stuff it up and we will go backwards and we won't get anywhere. So, but what I will say is the question you've phrased, I think actually needs to be lifted to the next level. And what I mean by that is it's not so much about tag-based versus panel-based. It's about the rules and principles around the robustness of those things. So a thing, and I think I've even talked about this in the book, is, you know, most science have principles and rules. In architecture, it's things like, you know, arrangement, symmetry, elements, and measurement's no different. So you know, if we want this to be an enduring measure slash currency, we need some rules and they need to be simple. And, you know, I went through and had a look not long ago around the things that I think would give us essentially a high rating for future endurance. And that are, they're things like human, privacy safe, natural, consistent, accuracy. So the questions you should be asking of your tag-based vendor, for example, are, is the data that powers your model human? Is it collected in a privacy-safe manner? Because that's massively important. And in a natural environment, or is it skewed? Is the gaze estimation accurate, granular, continuously collected, continuously improved? So if you answer yes to those kinds of principles, then the tag-based technology suits your objectives over the panel base, then go for it. But if it's a no, then it's probably viewability dressed up as attention. So be careful of putting dirty variables into your system. So that's kind of my position on it. I don't know how you feel, David.
It makes absolute sense to me. And I think one of the huge frustrations for marketers in the digital world has always been the surrogacy of all the metrics that we use and how far away they are from what we'd really like to be measuring, just because it's been too difficult. And if you can start to bring us to kind of the mother load in terms of your real behavior by real people, that's the step change that I think we're going to need.
Fantastic. On that note, I'd really like to thank you guys for your time. This has been a great chat, really insightful, super helpful for our listeners, and gives us quite a bit to think about as we see this attention economy continue to expand. Karen, I know that your calendar must be absolutely chockers, as you say. Thanks very much again. Get the book, as David suggests. We'll provide a link to it. Thanks again for your time, and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Unpicking Digital Advertising with Unruly. Don't forget to subscribe to get all the latest updates. And look out for our next episode coming soon. Find us at unruly.co.